Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Well, it's Tuesday, and I'm telling you, he lives the part. I mean, we're talking about the Old West, and he came in all chapped up and his spurs on and his high-heeled mule-eared boots with the Levi's tucked into the top, and he's got a .38 strapped to his hip, wearing a vest and a Marshall's badge and playing Matt Dillon. Here he is!
You just described me so well, Zeb. It's just great. I love it.
I got tired saying it.
So, before we start...
Oh, we got thank yous.
I got to thank Bill, who is every year they do the Dakota War back in 1838 in the Dakotas. They have a memorial ride, horseback ride for 16 days that they kind of memorialize the Dakota Indian.
I would love to go back.
Oh,
there.
That would be great.
Yeah. You know something? I think that North and South Dakota, primarily South Dakota, I could live there.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I've only traveled through, so...
Beautiful.
Yeah. I want to say thanks also to Jeff, who always has been a faithful listener, wished me a Merry Christmas, sent me a Christmas card.
Does he know you?
Only through this.
Oh, then you're lucky.
No, he's lucky.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. Richard, who...
Where are these people from, by the way?
You know, I can't remember. Bill's back in the Dakotas.
Yeah. And Jeff?
Oh, I can't remember where he's from.
Okay, well...
Richard, thank you for... He hit my PayPal donation button, and it didn't work, but it is working now.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. Preston. Has suggested a story about the Pleasant Valley War, and I really don't know anything about it, but he sent me some information.
Where was the Pleasant Valley War?
I'm not sure. He sent me some information so I can...
It's not the Pleasant Valley that's over here south of Kimberly,
no.
Is it?
No,
oh, okay.
It's back there somewhere back more the Midwest.
It wasn't on the Pleasant Valley Golf Course.
I couldn't be for sure.
Oh, okay.
But I doubt it.
Chased each other with nine irons. What are we going to talk about today?
We are going
to
talk.
Hey, I need you to take and tip that mic up just a little bit.
How's
there
that?
You go and right into it. There.
So
you go.
We're going to talk about the Comstock Fire.
Is that Comstock, California?
Virginia City.
Oh, okay.
The Comstock Mine.
All right.
Now, think about this. Fire was, you know, the most feared thing throughout the West.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most boom towns were made of lumber, and since wood was cheaper, it was easier to get to, easier to ship. But this made a lot of towns fire hazards, and Virginia City battled several fires throughout its history. But we're going to talk about the Great Fire of 1878. It was the biggest.
Really?
So that's the one we're going to talk about.
That was up there where Bonanza was supposed
to be. Pretty close
to,
yeah, not too far from Reno, outside of Reno.
Yeah.
So, where did my number one page? Here we go. I'm totally organized.
Yes, Jeb. You are.
So, okay, picture this. Fire companies in Virginia City, they respond too slowly to the first alarm that took place in October 1875. Their efforts to stop the spread of the fire was overwhelmed by wind-driven flames. One man, a guy by the name of John W. Mackey, he was a mine owner who'd risen through the ranks of the common Comstock miners, but he led the fight to save the world's richest mine. So,
did a lot of the frontier towns back then, a quick question, did they have so-called civic fire departments?
Probably like a volunteer one where they had the hose thing hooked up on a two-wheeled handcart type thing.
Oh, really?
And some did later on have horse-drawn as well. So picture this. It was a gray dawn. It came over the city, over the skies of Virginia City, Nevada, on the morning of October 26, 1875. It's kind of a uniform layer of cloud. It kind of came over the Sierra Nevada mountains from California. And pretty soon there was winds that were kind of thundering down the sides of the mountains and churning the dust, thrashing the sagebrush. And so you can just picture this all around the town, just a huge dust storm wind thing going on here. Now, a booming community of about 15,000 people.
That's a big community.
That's a big community, and it was terraced into the mountainside, but directly over the world-famous Comstock Lode in Virginia City.
I see.
And it was the dominant settlement in the state and arguably the most important between San Francisco and St. Louis. So, very important place. Now, there were huge quantities of gold and silver that had been mined from the Comstock lode in the 16 years since its discovery, around $200 million worth.
Really?
In 16 years.
Whoa. So think of what that would be today.
Like $2 billion, maybe.
Oh,
or thereabouts. So it was kind of the Silicon Valley of the age, and the ore body recently struck more than 1,000 feet below the downtown streets in what they called the Consolidated Virginia Mine.
Mm.
And this mine was bigger than anything they'd found before.
Now, was this a mine that was into the side of a mountainside, or did it go down?
Down. A lot.
Oh,
well,
did.
Some went in, but what we're talking about is some of the mines that actually went straight down.
Oh, my.
So, now, I'm going to call this the Con Virginia, the Consolidated Virginia Mine. So, the Con Virginia's riches had been found only 10 months before this, but the mine was already paying out more than $1 million of dividends per month.
Wow.
Huge. So one of the few persons out that early morning was a 10-year-old boy named Grant Smith. He was scouting for pigeons to shoot with a slingshot. He passed in front of Mooney's stable. Smith heard the cry, "Fire!" The boy looked uphill into the driving winds. Keep in mind, it's really windy. And he saw a little thin stream of smoke kind of trailing from a small one-story frame boarding house belonging to a lady by the name of Kate Shea, otherwise known as Crazy Kate.
Everybody had a nickname.
They did. Anyway, people in the adjoining houses had heard that a coal oil lamp had broken during the night during a fight, and one newspaper would later report that in the beginning, quote, a garden hose could have put out the fire.
Now, this so was small. In the town, not at the mine.
But the mine is all around, or the town's all around the mine.
So they built the town around the mine.
Right.
I
yeah.
see.
So it's a big 15,000 people living around that area. So anyway, like say, a garden hose could have put it out. But 10-year-old Smith recalled later, he said, but scarcely a drop of rain had fallen for months. The town was tinder dry, and the fire department arrived late.
Evidently.
So the firefighters' efforts were really no good, okay, because the winds, they were whipping this fire. Within 15 minutes, 20 buildings were in flames.
20?
The church bells were ringing, the alarm all over town. In the next 5 minutes, the number of burning buildings doubled to 40 buildings within 15 to 20 minutes. But
that must have been just like a matchstick.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He had to pause and take a drink of water, folks.
I was getting hot. So a few minutes later, an area equal to a whole city block was on fire. People tumbled into the streets. Remember, this is in the morning, in their bedclothes. Many just as their houses caught fire.
Oh, my.
This little boy, Smith, rushed home. The pair of two-story houses owned by his family had caught fire. His mother salvaged a handful of valuables and hustled him and his three brothers up a hillside to the dump of an old mine.
Just
to
watch it burn.
Just get out of town.
Oh, my.
So acre after acre of buildings joined, with one eyewitness describing this as, quote, a sea of fire. Can you just picture that?
Mm.
Anyway, desperate to save something from the calamity, families three or four blocks ahead of the flames started gathering their belongings and taking them out into the streets. The merchants would pile their goods out onto the sidewalks, and they fought to hire a wagon to haul their stuff out of town. But these Teamsters jacked up the prices for hauling them out of town.
You mean
with
they charged
goods.
Them during
yeah,
all this?
Yeah. So imagine the smoke, the wind, the noise, the people, everything, you know, just really mayhem. I mean, it's bad.
And all of this took place in how long a time?
Right now we're less than an hour, half
oh my
hour.
My goodness.
So these frantic citizens found every conceivable way to haul their stuff out, even using wheelbarrows or anything they could use. And without time to rig up some of the terrified animals into harnesses, men by the hundreds took the place of the draft animals, and they hauled loaded wagons toward the outskirts of town. So can you picture this? Five or six or eight men grabbing onto the tongue of a wagon and trying to pull it out of town.
Wow.
Now, the women and children, they were staggering beneath impossible loads. They were carrying what they could. horsemen galloped through the crowds, not paying any attention to all the people on foot. Behind them all, these huge flames were leaping up into the sky. It was a real inferno. So here we are. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. A whirlwind of fire enveloped the county buildings, the International Hotel, the Bank of California, and the rest of the city's core businesses. And 25 miles away, the population of Reno could see a black cloud rolling over Virginia City. So it was that big. So telegrams from Virginia City went to San Francisco, and it kind of put people into a terror because a lot of the San Francisco people's fortune rested on the Comstock load. A lot of them had interest in that.
So did it burn the opening to the mine shaft?
We'll get to that.
I thought we would.
Okay. The two best mines were this one I mentioned, the Con Virginia and the California, and they both were controlled by four Irish partners led by a veteran miner named John Mackey. Now, I mentioned him a little earlier, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more. But John had walked more than 100 miles over the Sierra Nevada mountains from California to the Comstock a few weeks after its discovery, and he was too far. He had to walk because he couldn't afford a mule. Well, Mackey took a job in the mine for $4 a day and just worked his way up from there. So Mackey and a guy named James Fair handled the firm's mining operations on the Comstock. Now, there's two guys, James Flood and William O'Brien, and these guys had been saloon keepers, but they were back in San Francisco, and they were kind of the brokers getting people to invest in the mines. Okay, so they're back there. So speculators in San Francisco, they kept asking for more information.
Now,
What's going on?
I have a dumb question
okay.
for you. If this was about how far from Reno?
About 25.
25 miles. What source of communication alerted people as far away as San Francisco that there was a fire?
I believe at this time they did have the telegraph. So that's how they got the word. So, but these investor guys, they had faith that Mackey and his buddy would do their duty fighting the fire, trying to get it taken care of. Well, Flood, like I say, Flood knew his partners well, and Mackey hadn't made the slightest effort to save his own home, which would burn down. He and this guy named Fair had been at the hoisting works of the Con Virginia mine since the first alarm. Both miners recognized the extreme danger. The Con Virginia works were in the middle of town, and the wind threatened to drive the fire right over them. So that answers your question how, you know, a lot of the mines were built, the houses built around the mine.
So instead of like a city park, it was actually built around the working of the mine.
Right.
I see.
So Mackey and his partner, they ordered everybody out of their mines. Anything on the surface could be rebuilt, but the whole town if necessary. But if fire burned down the mine shafts and got down below, there was a lattice work of dry, compressed timbers. They'd lose the richest mine in the world forever. So it's just the lattice work that went down with all this wood. So while every last man raised from the mine by way of elevators, which they used to raise and lower people up and down, Mackey directed his men to seal the mine shaft and pile sandbags and dirt. The fire burned along the trestle, the railroad trestle, and consumed the Virginia's massive state-of-the-art mill. And the stamp batteries where they stamped the ore of the California mine almost totally took it.
Did anybody get trapped in the mine?
There were some. No, not according to this. But anyway, the battle shifted to the new hoisting works. In other words, where they took the mine up and down. Mackey was having built. And it was 1,000 feet farther down the hill over the. And it was named as a joint effort of the California and Con Virginia mines. Well, these works seemed like they were doomed too, and Mackey kept working at it. The San Francisco Chronicle said that he was doing superhuman efforts, but the wind it jumped over. Well, let me go back. Mackey's old miner instinct took hold, and he led a desperate fight to save them. Under Mackey's direction, miners dynamited a line of houses and tried to drag away the debris so it wouldn't continue going. So kind of like a fire break, but the fire break, it jumped right over that, and just kept on going. By 10 o'clock, the worst of it was over. The flames had died down. But can you imagine the scene? You know, estimates are that the people, range from 2,000 to 10,000 people, were left homeless. The fire swept away over 200 businesses, including all the small houses on the streets. He says a storm built over the mountains, too, and pretty soon it started to rain.
Oh, boy.
So now you've got homeless people in the rain, people trying to find a place to find shelter.
What about all the livestock? Whatever happened to all the livestock?
Well, I'm going to tell you a sad story.
Uh-oh.
There.
I see.
Okay. So then after that, not only rain, then by 8 o'clock that night, snow began to fall. Light rain, you know, heavy showers. It was a bad, bad situation. So they went through a terrible night. And there was an article that talks about, they described a, quote, haggard figure emerging from the successful battle to save the CNC mine, and says, quote, begrimed with dust, powder smoke, and the smoke of the fire, the man was Mackie, looking like a laborer just ready to drop from exhaustion. So he hung in there as long as he could. Anyway, Mackie had to watch the fire burn itself out, finally. And but Mackie said, you know, well, there was a lady that wanted to save her church. Okay, and Mackie said, you know what, we can rebuild the church, but we've got to take care of these people. Let's see what we can do to make these women and children, these babies, comfortable. So anyway, there's I know we're running out of time here, but so let me just...
I was interested about the horses and the mules,
okay,
and everything. By a town of 15,000, they must have had a lot of them.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, well, this is kind of a sad part, but around 9:30 a.m. that morning, the flames began to develop, like, say, the hoisting works, and driven by wind and the heat, the fire raced down the trestle work, which held the cars, you know, the ore cars, and it was over which a mule hauled the ore from the shaft to the mill that separated the gold and the silver. And only when the men heard the terrified braying did they realize that no one had loosed this mule from the stable.
Oh, my.
So getting her out was suicide, but a guy named Ben Smith, who, this was his mule. He loved this mule. And anyway, he secured a pistol and tried to find a way to get down so he could shoot the mule. To put it out of his misery, and he was desperate. He wanted to shorten her agony. He wiggled and he crawled beneath the hoisting works. And keep in mind, there's fire above him.
Yeah.
Heat scorched his skin and singed his hair and whiskers, and the mule screams just drove him on.
Oh, my goodness.
But he could not find a point. The mule died in agony, and Smith barely escaped with his life. It was just, you know...
What was the cause of the fire? Did they ever ascertain what it was?
This coal oil lamp that had tipped over in that Crazy Kate's saloon.
And there was nobody there to put it out?
Well, evidently not. Or it just grew too fast. But initially, they were said that, you know, it could have been put out real easily with a garden hose.
Well, and this is what boggles my mind, is how fast it went and how big an area it covered. Because you said basically in an hour, the whole town was besieged by it.
Yeah. Zeb, I used to fight fires for the BLM on the fire crew on the range. And I've been there when I've seen a wind just take, and that was just a range fire, just faster than a man could run.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this, something that kind of was a sad deal. Rioting began in the streets, causing city patrols to ask for additional help from the National Guard to protect the still-standing property. The city also forced the remaining saloons to prohibit the sale of alcohol, trying to prevent further problems. The biggest concern was providing the food and clothing and shelter for the fire victims.
Wow.
So luckily, immediate humanitarian relief was sent from California. It provided food and shelter, and the mines were reopened.
Did the town rebuild?
It did.
In its entirety?
Yes.
It did. What are you looking for?
Well, I had a little bit. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I got too many.
You scare
papers.
Me when you do that.
Oh, anyway. So the mines reopened the following day after the fire.
The next day?
With some, because of minimal damage to the shafts in some of the mines.
Wow.
But the total amount of money lost was estimated to be almost $10 million.
Which today would be
100,
at least, yeah.
80, 90, 100 million.
Wow.
But, you know, they came back. They just figured this was a minor setback in the history of the Comstock.
You meant that as a play on words, minor setback?
I didn't even notice that. So that's the story of the Comstock fire that took place in Virginia City.
Real quick, I'm almost out of time, and I want to say this and ask you. Remember the Bonanza TV series?
Yes.
Which basically was in that area.
Right.
And Virginia City, of course, was where they rode to town all the time.
Yeah.
Very few of the episodes, and for that matter, I can't remember any, centered around mining.
You know, that's a good
thing.
Think
about that.
Yeah. And yet, it was played a huge...
It was the main...
Huge part in the history of California, Nevada, well, the West.
I wonder why they didn't highlight more of that.
That's a good question.
But, we ought to check on that.
You know, I have never been to Virginia City over there in Nevada. I've been to the Virginia City up in Montana.
Yeah.
But one of these days, I want to make it over to that Virginia
Absolutely.
City.
Absolutely. You know, that was really interesting. What we ought to do is, and I think it'd be relatively easy, is check with the studios that had the rights to Bonanza and ask them about any of the shows that they had that
the
might
film.
Have centered
yeah.
around the burning of Virginia City.
Yeah. Not, back then, I don't know what kind of ghost town it was or
yeah.
mining town, if there were still buildings up.
Excellent. So. You're going to be here next week,
yep,
aren't you?
I will be here.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Dr. History, Dr. Ken Turner, and, of course, the great segment this morning. Thank you, my friend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.